2010, and there was a name, a man named Jürgen Enkenbrand, and he was sitting on a bench out in California, and Pastor Ray Comfort started talking to him, and Pastor Ray asked him about things like, does he think about life and death? And he said, well, we're already dead in a way. I mean, we're all going to die, so I don't think about it anyway. Why worry about it? It's going to happen. And Pastor Ray asked him, how old are you, Jürgen? And Jürgen said, I'm 68. And he said, well, how many more years do you think you've got to live? And he said, probably 20 or so. And Pastor Ray asked him, well, are you afraid of dying? And I said, I'm not afraid of dying. This is all there is anyway. And then he went on, they talked about heaven and hell, and he said, I think this is hell now. We have to get through this, and when we die, we just don't exist anymore. And Pastor Ray asked him, are you thankful for your life? And he said, yeah, I'm thankful for my life. And Ray asked him, well, who are you thankful to? And he didn't have an answer for that, of course. But then he kind of said to Pastor Comfort, he said, well, you can't prove your side of the argument, not in a wise guy way. They were just talking very calmly. You can't prove your side any more than I can prove my side. And Ray said, yes, I can. And Jürgen said, no, you can't. And Pastor Ray said, I can. You can't tell me that I can't because I can. So what would you do if you were in that situation? That's what Pastor Ray told him. He said, Jesus said, whoever has my commands and keeps them loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. And then I will come and reveal myself to that person. So Pastor Ray said, if you believe and you accept Christ, he will reveal himself to you. He will show you that he's real. You don't get any of that because you don't believe. And Jesus will reveal himself once you believe. And then he said, Jürgen, the gauntlet's been laid down. So what are you going to do with it? And Jürgen again said, well, I just don't believe any of that stuff. And Pastor Ray left him with this. He said, well, Jürgen, I want you to think about this. What will it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? See, we live kind of by, there's an old saying, just show me God and I'll believe. And the Bible doesn't work like that. God says, believe and I'll show you. Penn Jillette, who knows who Penn Jillette is? Penn and Teller, very famous magicians out in Las Vegas. They've been doing their act for decades. Zach, you bring up that first slide. Penn Jillette is a devout atheist. He signs his autographs. After he signs his name, he puts, there is no God. And this is what he wrote. This is what he said to Pastor Ray once. Okay, not that, but he should have. I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. Proselytize is telling people about your religion, trying to show them that Christ is real, okay? I don't respect that at all. If you believe there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? This is an atheist. And look at what he hates more than anything else. People who claim to be Christians but don't have the courage to tell other people about Christ. That's a pretty sad indictment on us as Christians. So I thought I'd talk about why are we afraid to proselytize, to tell people about Jesus. The last words of our Lord were, go into all the world and make disciples. And we think it stops there, but it doesn't. And you know, you get into all the, you shouldn't judge me and all that. Well, those weren't Jesus' last words. Jesus' last words were, and teach them to obey everything that I commanded you. Those were his last words. So, point being, you don't just tell somebody about Jesus. You invest in them. You invest in their life. You tell them about Jesus, and then you allow them to, you invite them to Bible studies. You invite them to church. You spend time talking to them, answering questions that are going to come up. Slide number two, please, Zach. Romans 1:16, part A, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice in the rest of this says, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. The gospel is what we have to give the world. Are we ashamed? Are we as Christians ashamed to be identified with Jesus? I mean, after all, Jesus, all he talked about was love, 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 right? And our society equates love with being a sissy, or with giving up control, or with weakness. That's how we see love these days. It's pretty sad. Jesus spent years preaching nothing but love. Love God. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. If somebody hits you on your right side, turn around and let them hit you on the left side too. If you have two coats and your enemy's cold, give him your other coat. All we talked about was love. And look what happened to Jesus, right? Even the people, he's beat to a bloody pulp. He has a crown of thorns pounded into his head. He's punched. He's spit upon. He has his beard ripped out by human hands. He's whipped to within an inch of his life. No skin left on his body. They lead him away and they hang him on a cross. And even the two guys on either side of him that are there because they were murderers are mocking Jesus. And the reason they're mocking Jesus is because they know they have a reason to be there. Well, we're here because we deserve to be here. But you're here just because you talked about love and nobody liked you for that. And so they thought they'd hang you on a cross. And so even the thieves mocked him. Yes, we know one of them came around and accepted Jesus, but at the beginning they both mocked him. Jesus didn't defend himself. And then maybe he just stood there and took it like the sissy that the world thinks he is. Then Jesus had three trials, by the way, and he was found innocent in every one of them. All the ruling authorities declared him innocent in every trial. And still, because of public pressure, they put him on that cross and they hung him and killed him and he died up there on that cross. Didn't even look like a human being anymore, the Bible said. They beat him so bad. And so this is how we picture Jesus. We don't want to be identified with that. We want our heroes to be bigger than life. You know, what's the number one grossing movie of all time? Right, the latest Avengers movie, right? We want our superheroes to be superheroes. We want them to be basketball players and win World Soccer League championships, the U.S. women's team. And that's who we want our heroes to be, not people that get beat to a pulp. We don't want to identify with that. Makes us look bad. There's other reasons we may be afraid to share Jesus with people. I won't be able to answer the questions. What if somebody asks me, why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, the simple answer is a loving God doesn't send anybody to hell. He gives you the privilege to choose to go there yourself if you want to. But he doesn't make you go there. Well, if your God exists, why is there so much evil in the world? That's easy to answer, too. You just take him back to Genesis and show him where man fell and where sin. There was not supposed to be evil in the world. Man blew it. God didn't blow it. We blew it. It was supposed to be utopia. So let's change our view of Jesus. And let's see if we can't be proud of the God we serve. Revelation chapter 8 opens with silence in heaven for half an hour. Now, we're still in the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years. A lot of people will tell you that the tribulation period's the last 3.5 years of the last 7 years of earth. And that's not true. It's the whole 7-year period. And if you don't believe that, just go look. Before we reach the halfway point of the great tribulation period, there are billions of people dying. There are earthquakes and fires and famines and all this stuff. People are dying from disease and from demonic plagues. Before we get to the halfway point of the tribulation, Satan's still in heaven at that point. So we open up chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, and there's 7 angels standing there around the throne of God, cherubim. And 7 trumpets are given to them. We're not told who gives them the trumpets, just that they were handed 7 trumpets. And they're silent. They're not to blow these trumpets. And an 8th angel is given incense, a bowl of incense. And this incense, this angel comes before the throne of God, and he hands this incense to God. and the incense comes up to God. And then something happens. All the prayers of all the saints, all the believers, for the past 6,000 years since the planet was created, every prayer, every tear, all comes together and mingles with that incense. And this comes together, all your prayers that you've ever prayed, and they get together with this incense and they come up before God. And there's complete silence for half an hour. And people have wondered about this for thousands of years. Why is there silence in heaven for this half an hour? And most people, myself included, think that God is rehearing every prayer that every one of you guys and everyone else who believes has ever prayed. God is listening to them again. And this is what's come up before God. And that's bad news for the earth, for planet Earth. So once God, the silence, the half hour has gone by, and God tells the angel, now we picture Satan being around, being the lord of hell and reigning in hell. Listen, Satan's not going to reign any place. When he gets to hell, he's being punished and tormented. Okay, but there's also fire around the throne of God. And so God tells that angel, that eighth angel, pick up some of that fire and put it in that bowl and throw it to planet Earth. And when he takes that bowl and he throws it to planet Earth, it's all over for men who have rejected Christ. That's when it's no longer God punishing people. It's now God's wrath. And the reason God's wrath is being thrown to earth at this point is because of the way that you were treated. It's because of the way that Christians were laughed at and mocked and put down and ridiculed and spit upon and lied about and talked about and gossiped about and put in prison. And God's had enough. And all your prayers have come before God, and now he throws that back to earth, and now things are really going to get bad down here. Demons, lots of demons, are about to be released from the bottomless pit. See, Satan's thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, okay? But there's already demons there. Why God lets some demons run free and some demons are locked in the pit, we're not told. That's not for us to know. But they're released. Slide 3, Revelation 9:1, please, Zach. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet. These were the seven angels that were given the seven trumpets around the throne of God. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star falling from heaven to earth. That star is an angel. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Okay, now listen, who's in charge here? Is it the demons who are about to be released? Listen, the angel comes down, okay, and he's given the key by Christ to free the demons from the pit. See, Satan wants you to think that he has all the power, but Jesus is the one calling the shots here. Okay, next slide, please, Zach. Revelation 9:3. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were what? They were given power. Look, Christ is still calling the shots. They were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. Jesus is in control here. These are demons, not actually locusts. Okay? They're called locusts here, but they're actually demons. And how do we know that? Revelation 9:11, please, Zach, and we'll get to this. They, the locusts, have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. So the locusts have a king over them, Apollyon, and he leads these demon hordes out of the pit. Next slide, please, Zach. Locusts have what? No king. Back here in Proverbs, we're talking about the insects that fly around and eat all the green vegetation. Locusts have no king. Nothing in the Bible is there by accident. God put this verse in here to show you that when we get to the verse in Revelation, we're talking about demons and not locusts. They simply didn't know how to describe people, so they use, when John's writing, he's using imagery that he understood at the time. Now, if you read back in Revelation chapter 9, God's still calling the shots. These locusts, millions and millions, these demons, are released upon the earth. And they're allowed to torment everybody on earth that's not sealed with the seal of Christ. They're not allowed to touch anybody that belongs to Christ. And they also have another restriction put on them. They're not allowed to kill anybody. And so even though it looks like Satan and the demons are in control, they still have a chain around their neck. And when they go so far, Jesus jerks it back and tells them that's far enough. Listen, it's like a big chessboard. All of human history is a big chessboard, okay? And God, from day one, has been moving the pieces into place for the return of Christ. And we're there, I believe with all my heart, and so do most other biblical scholars, that this is it. You're the last generation. That Christ is going to come back. At this point, Satan is kicked out of heaven permanently. Halfway point of the revelation of the tribulation. Satan's kicked to earth at this point. And it says he comes with rage like never before. See, right now, Satan can go back and forth and talk to God. We know that from the book of Job. And so Satan has to ask permission to test anybody or to tempt anybody. Okay, he has to ask God's permission. And so, but at this point, he's going to be kicked out, and he knows from this point, this is why he's so enraged. He knows that from this point, the 3.5 year point of the tribulation, until Christ comes back and throws him in the bottomless pit, he has 1,260 days. That's it. And so he's enraged at this point. He's going to try to destroy the plan of Christ. And how is he going to do that? Get rid of the Jewish people. If he can get rid of the Jewish people, he can keep the Jewish Messiah from coming. That's why all throughout human history, they've tried to destroy the Jews. It's Satan's plan to get rid of the line of the Messiah. And if they can get rid of the Jewish people, Jesus can't come. That's what they think, of course. That's not true, but that's what they believe. So Satan's kicked out permanently. Now, Satan knows all this is going to happen. He just doesn't know when it's going to happen. But from the moment he's kicked out of heaven permanently, then he knows how long he has. So at this point, the beast arrives. And now things are going to get really bad on planet Earth. Billions of people are going to die. There's going to be no water to drink. There's going to be no light from the sun and the moon. It's going to be dark. There's going to be no food to eat because the insects are going to eat all the vegetation before this point. They're going to, food prices, because they're going to be so scarce, they're going to skyrocket. You're going to be paying $1,000 for a bottle of water, a couple thousand for a loaf of bread. But they're not allowed to touch the oil or the wine. The oil and the wine prices have to stay where they are. Why is it? Why the oil and the wine? What's oil represent in the Bible? Holy Spirit. And what's wine represent in the Bible? The blood of Christ. So they still need these two items in worship of God. And so they're not allowed to mess with these two things. They're not allowed to the demons aren't allowed to deplete the stocks or to raise the prices or any of that stuff on the oil or the wine. Who's still calling the shots? Jesus is still calling the shots. No matter how bad it gets, Jesus is still in control and he's still calling the shots. And here's the thing. He told us how it's going to happen before it's even going to happen. And he did that, he said, the Bible says, so that when you see these things happening, you will know that I told you beforehand that they were going to happen. And so he's already told us this stuff. Next slide, Zach. Revelation 19:11, please. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Listen, when Jesus comes back the second time, this who's coming back? The judge of all history. And he's coming back to make war. He's not coming back to be the little lamb talking about love being led to the slaughter. It's not going to be Jesus the next time around. Okay? Next slide, please, Zach. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Okay, this is the guy they had hanging on a cross. Now he's coming back. And he's not going to look the same the next time he comes back. And when it says his eyes are blazing fire, that means he knows every secret, every thought, everything you've ever done in your entire life, he knows. He sees everything. And when it says the crown here, the word is diadems, and it means not the crown like if you win the Super Bowl and get a trophy, or if you win a track meet and get a ribbon. It's not talking about that. It's a crown of the conqueror, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This crown is given to the one who conquers everyone. Slide 9, please, Zach. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. So that there's no mistake in who this is, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus. And Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. Next slide, please, Zach. Revelation 19:15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. Listen, anybody going to nail Jesus to a cross the next time? Who's going to rule this time? Jesus is going to. He will rule them with a rod of iron. In other words, you're going to do it my way or see you later. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. You know what that means? Here's what's going on here, guys. This is serious stuff. Treading the winepress, what happens? Oh, the juice comes out. Okay? We're treading the winepress of the enemies of God. What's happening? Oh, the blood's coming out. This is serious stuff. This is the Jesus who's returning to rule, and the Jesus who's going to reign upon the earth. And the Jesus is going to take revenge for every time you've been laughed at and put down and ridiculed. This is a Jesus we should not be ashamed of. This is why we need to tell people about Christ. Because he's not coming back as a lamb to the slaughter. He's coming back to rage judgment on all unbelievers. And listen, those unbelievers, when all this stuff's going on earth, when there's no food and there's no water and fire's coming down from heaven and locusts and demons are coming out of the pit, that's as good as it's ever going to get for non-believers. Because after that, they're thrown into a lake that burns with fire, and that lake is going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Next slide, please, Zach. What's this? 9/11. See his tower that's fallen? This tower was 1,368 feet tall. It took 14 seconds for it to fall. 14 seconds. 1,402 people died. The tower next to it is 1,363 feet tall. It took 16 seconds for it to fall. It killed 614 people. So in a grand total of 30 seconds, 2,000 people died. How many of those people had Christian friends and Christian neighbors and Christian family members who didn't have the backbone to tell them about the love of Christ? And those towers came down, and in 14 seconds, they're in hell. See how important it is to share Jesus? We never know. We never know. None of those 2,000 people woke up that day thinking they were going to die. A bunch of them died and went to hell. November 2010. Jürgen, what are you going to do if you die tonight? Well, I guess I'll just have to deal with it then. Next slide, please, Zach. This is about 2 weeks after Pastor Ray talked to him. Next slide, Zach. He was given every opportunity to accept Christ. Several times Pastor Ray saw him on that bench and talked to him. And every time he rejected Christ and said he didn't believe in any of that nonsense. Listen, he believes now. Unfortunately for him, he wishes he didn't. He wishes he'd never been born. Unless that's a sad, sad thing. But at least Pastor Ray tried to warn him what would happen when he died. What would happen if he died without Christ. Listen, one day this is going to be all of us right here. It's going to be all of us. One day it's going to say, Brian Potts, 1960 to 2019. That's all it's going to say. One day. And one day it's going to be your name up here. And one day you're going to stand before Christ. And it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus, because what we believe doesn't determine reality. You can believe you can fly, but you can jump off a building and you're going to fall and you're going to die. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Belief does not determine reality. Truth determines reality. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Listen, guys, I believe that we are running out of time to share Jesus and to accept Jesus. And listen, you don't want to die without Jesus. Think about, everybody close their eyes for a second. Think about somebody that you know, that you really like, that you really love, that you really care about, and you know they're not saved. Now picture that person burning in fire because we didn't want to be ridiculed for loving Jesus, for trusting in Jesus. We didn't want to take the time or the chance to share Jesus because somebody might laugh at us. Okay, we can open our eyes. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. Jesus made a way of escape for all that, right? This doesn't have to be us. That's all there was for Jurgen. That was it. From there, right to the lake of fire. Okay? Right to Hades and then into the lake of fire. But for those who believe, who accept Christ, listen, one thing, when he comes back and his eyes are ablaze of fire, we're not going to have to give an account for all those things we thought and did because we've repented of them and God said, I'll take those things that you did and I'll throw them away as far as the east is from the west and I'll never remember them again. So they're not going to be thrown up in our face. They're saying when Jesus comes back and he judges living and the dead, we're talking about unbelievers here. But the good news is we've escaped that if you've accepted Christ and you put your faith in Christ. And anybody that you know and anybody that you love has that same opportunity to escape that same destiny. Listen, Jesus chose you guys for a reason. The reason he chose you guys is because he is counting on you and he is relying on you and he is trusting in you to share him with somebody that you love, with somebody that you hate, with somebody that you know. Listen, if there's anybody who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and you want to avoid the fate that Jurgen here is now finding himself in, this is the time to do it. You can come up right now and accept Christ and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and you can be forgiven of your sins, and you can have eternal life with Christ. And some people might laugh at you. Your friends probably will laugh at you. But one day, they're not going to be the ones laughing. And that day is going to come really fast. Anybody want to come and take hold of Jesus today? This is your chance. This is your opportunity. It's about to get real. Jesus loves you guys. Let's bow our heads. If you don't know Jesus, listen, saying a few words doesn't change that. But a change of heart does. And of understanding where you are without Jesus and where you are without Jesus is lost and on your way to hell. Dearest Heavenly Father, Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I can't escape my punishment. And I know that there's nothing I can do to earn my way out of hell and into heaven. But Father, I know that you paid the price. When you hung your son on that cross, and when they laughed at him and ridiculed him and beat him, that he took my punishment. That's what I deserved, God. And Father, I ask you to change me now and make me a new creation. And God, give me a new heart. Take out my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Change my today and change my eternity. I believe in your son, Jesus. I believe that he hung on the cross for me. God, I accept that forgiveness and ask you to be my Lord and Savior from this day forward. And it's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen.